Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Avi, a teacher and tutor with LSAT Demon, and I'm here with Francesca.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for joining me. We're just going to run through a student question today, Francesca.
For sure. So one of our students, Kyle, wrote in and said, I've got a question about approaching LR sections with time in mind specifically. Do you recommend always reading all five answer choices? I'm finding that on the first half of a given section, my pre-phrases or predictions are pretty accurate and the right answer choice is leaping out at me more and more frequently. But I'm still taking the time to rule out wrong answers to increase my confidence. On LG questions, I typically stop when I see the right answer and move on to the next question, and my time has improved pretty dramatically without much of a hit to my accuracy. I'm just wondering if I should be taking the same approach to LR to make sure I've got more time to spend on the tougher questions, or is it always a good idea to confirm my choice by ruling everything else out? Thanks so much for your time. Thanks, Kyle. So, Abby, what do you think about this?
Yeah, thank you, Kyle, for writing in. And I think that, Francesca, you can agree, when we're teaching classes and we're working with students on the Demon, I think this is a pretty common question that people have. They're wondering, the confidence that I feel on logic games when I'm eliminating wrong answer choices and picking the right ones, can I get that confidence on LR and RC? I think the answer is yes, you can, but I think that there is some worth, there is some value to read all five answer choices in LR and in RC. Part of the reason for that is that there's different question types in LR and RC. So sometimes we're looking for a strengthener or a weakener, and there may be two strengtheners or two weakeners in the answer choices, and you have to pick the best one. That is not to say that there's a second best answer choice. There's never a second best answer choice. There's four wrong answer choices and one right answer choice. But sometimes it takes reading all five to understand which of them is absolutely correct 100% and why the other four are wrong. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, absolutely. We want you to proceed from a place of confidence, and there can be a part of you that says, well, you know, I'm really confident in this answer choice, but maybe if I read all four answer choices, it'll be something even better. And then you catch yourself maybe trying to convince yourself that the wrong ones are wrong. Or maybe sometimes people have an issue where they feel like the right answer is too easy or too obvious. So we don't want you to be reading it from that place, but it's more from a place of just being thorough. And we were talking about this before, but if you're really understanding the question, and if you're really that confident in your answer choice, it's not going to be that much more work or that much more time to just read the rest of them and really dot your I's, cross your T's. We want you to focus, we say this all the time, but we want you to focus on your accuracy and on your understanding of the question and not on the time that it's taking you. So if you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll just like save time for the harder questions by rushing through the faster questions or by not being as thorough, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot and for not much benefit, because the benefit is what, maybe a couple seconds that you save from not reading all the answer choices, but then you increase the risk of screwing up on the easier questions and now you're not even getting paid for the work that you're doing. So that's not the most effective way to go after this.
I 100% agree. And I think that it just comes down to that, like you said, Francesca, that fundamental concept where if you're taking the time to do a question, get it right. Do what it takes for you to solve that question. So Kyle, I think that you're a little bit preoccupied with the time that it's taking you to solve the question completely. If you solving the question completely is you ruling out the wrong answers and feeling really confident about the right answer, that's what you got to do. Because at that point, like Francesca just said, you've already done the work on that question. Now you have to get that paycheck, right? You have to get those points. And if this is what it takes for you to get those points, we're not worried about you getting to the last 5 or 10 questions in a section. Just do all the questions that you are actually doing 100% correctly. Get that accuracy to 100% every time. And then you can start wondering, okay, am I reading all of the answer choices 3 times? Maybe don't do that, right? Once you get a little bit better at the test and once you feel a lot more comfortable eliminating or advocating for the right answer choice or eliminating the wrong ones a little bit quicker, you'll get more confident over time. That'll take reps. But in the meantime, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. If this is what it takes for you to kill every question, this is what it takes, and that's okay.
Yeah. And I think another thing to add is in terms of the process of evaluating the answer choices, of course, we want you to be super thorough, but there's a difference between reading all the other answer choices just to be sure that they're not, that there's not some right answer, that there's not some mistake that you missed or something that you missed when you read the passage. There's a difference between reading it just to go like, let me look behind this door. Yep, there's nothing behind this door. Okay, let me move on. Versus reading it to be like, oh, well, why might somebody else want to choose this? And why can I fully explain in the right words as if I'm writing an explanation why this is the wrong answer? You don't need to do all that. And actually, like, Abby, I'm sure you can speak to this too, but this is something that we feel as teachers. There's a difference between when you read the answer choice and you're like, I know that this is not right. And when you turn that into words for a class to understand why it is not right, you don't need to do all that extra work. You just need to get to the point of there's nothing behind this door. I still look behind the door, but there's nothing behind this door for me.
And exactly, exactly, Francesca. Sometimes in class, I mention like my caveman brain when I'm taking my test, right? Because I think it is different when you're like, when you read a question and then you turn to your class and you're like, all right, let's talk about the question. You're so much more articulate than when, than your internal monologue would be if you were talking to yourself during your exam, right? You're sitting there and you're taking a time section. You're not going to talk to yourself in complete sentences. Similarly, you're not going to look at every answer choice and in your internal monologue exactly explain why it's wrong or why it's right in like complete English sentences. No, you're going to be like, ooga booga, that word wrong, next, right? Like, it's like, oh, that's my red flag. That's all I needed. I'm literally moving on. And I'm sure that, you know, if folks are listening to this podcast and they've heard Ben or Nathan walk through questions on their Thinking LSAT podcast or other episodes of Demon Daily, sometimes Ben or Nathan will get to an answer choice and be like, they'll get two words into it and they'll be like, oh, I'm out. Like, yeah, that second word was completely the wrong thing and I'm already moving on to the next one. And like I said before, and like, you know, like we've been saying, that kind of confidence comes with time and reps and understanding, but that's kind of what you're chasing. You're chasing that strong, confident, not necessarily immediate, but complete assurity or sureness. I don't know what the right word is, but when you know that a wrong answer is wrong and you just move on from it, that's the best feeling in the world. It's almost as good of a feeling as getting to the right answer and going, oh, that's the right answer. Yeah. And then you pick it and then you move on with your life.
Yeah, exactly. I think it might be interesting to talk about the debate that we were having before we started recording, because we had a bit of a hard time figuring out, you know, you've got that gut. Like, the question initially was, okay, on games, I can just read the answer. I'm like, yeah, this one's right. I don't need to plug everything else into my worlds to double check. I just pick it and move on. But on LR and RC, you know, it feels like I'm supposed to read everything because maybe there's a mistake or there's something that I missed. And we were trying to get at this idea of, yeah, on games, you maybe don't need to read every single answer choice because it's something that you can like plug into your worlds. If you did your worlds right, which we want you to do, then it should be like a mathematical equation. It just spits out the answer and you're like, yeah, this is the one, I can move on. And on LR and RC, it's not that there's more nuance or that the right answer is any less right, but you still want to give yourself the opportunity to catch any mistakes that you might have made. So I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, no, and this is exactly what we were talking about before. I think that what might be the difference is on logic games, we have our worlds written out on this piece of paper and they're so clear. And so it's so easy to check answers against that system we've created, against the worlds we've created. And I think that the way that we approach LR and RC here at the Demon is we do kind of create worlds for LR and RC questions when we make predictions, mm-hmm. when we read the passage carefully, read every sentence, understand every sentence, and then predict the answer choice, you know, the question. We can almost predict the question sometimes, or we can predict the answer choices once we read the question. That's kind of the equivalent to having worlds. It's the system that you check the answer choices against when you're deciding what's right and what's wrong, when you're deciding what fits into your understanding of the passage. I just think that that's harder. It's just harder to do. It's harder to check answer choices against a more abstract system, your understanding of the passage or your mm-hmm. prediction for the answer choice, than it is to check against the system that is literally written out in black and white. These are the pieces, these are the players that can fit here. But I think that the goal should be, and I think it's the goal for even tutors, like we're continually getting better at the test, the goal is that your prediction is so good or your prediction is so correct or your understanding of the passage is so strong that when you check the answer choices against that system you've created, the worlds that you've created for the passage, that the right answer jumps off the page and the wrong answers, you know, they scream that they're wrong. Yeah. I don't know. That's a theory. It's a hypothesis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. And I'm actually glad that you brought up predictions because that would be the last thing that I'd want to bring up to tie together our answer to this question. In theory, so out of the five answer choices that you'll be faced with, there will be only right one, only one right one, and four completely wrong ones. Now, in theory, sometimes the question is, for example, which supports the conclusion the most, which strengthens the argument the most. So in theory, there could be one answer choice that's like a little bit of a strengthener and one that's like an absolute strengthener. In that case, it is objectively correct that the stronger strengthener is the one that you're going to go with, but you could still read that one that kind of requires you to make some more assumptions, that maybe requires you to do more advocating for the answer choice. And you can still read that and go, well, I guess that kind of does something for the answer choice or for the argument. In practice, that is very rare. I'd say like 95% of the time, even when they're looking for the most weakening answer choice or the most anything, you're usually dealing with four that just don't do the thing and one that does do the thing. But in theory, it's possible that's the case. And it in that case, like there's no equivalent to that in worlds that in games that would just never happen because it's more black and white. So that might be something else to think about for why you'd want to read everything in LR and RC.
Exactly. And I think just like you said, the bang for your buck here, right? The takeaway, if you're listening to this and you want a takeaway and you agree with Kyle, you're like, man, am I taking too much time? First of all, don't worry about time, right? Like just do the questions. But I'm taking too much time to read all these answer choices. Like, is this even helping me? I think Francesca is exactly correct. 99.9% of the time, the question is going to have four wrong answers that are so, so clearly wrong and one correct answer that jumps off the page of you if you took the time to understand the passage, if you took the time to make predictions. And that's where you're going to get the majority of your points. I think that those edge cases, those like, oh, this one strengthens a little bit more than this one, those are the ones that you talk to, you know, demon teachers about. Those are the ones that you write in for the podcast. But I think 99% of the time, I think the advice to just go through the answer choices, eliminate the wrong ones, whatever it takes to get you feeling confident, I think you're on the right track, Kyle. I think you're on the right track.
Exactly. And we can talk about this in the abstract all we want, but if you want to put this into practice and see how we put this into practice, come check out our classes. I teach LR Foundations and RC Foundations and an advanced RC class. These are on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Abby's got some classes too. What do you have going on these days?
Yeah, on Saturday at 11:30, actually right after we record this, I'm going to jump in with my folks, my Saturday folks, and we teach a class. We have a class called Missing Link. It's kind of like a right down the middle LR and RC class. So Francesca's got the foundations and the higher level, and then we're kind of right down the middle. We deal with like the meat of the section, you know, those level three, level four difficulty questions. We go through an RC passage and a couple LR questions every Saturday. So come see us in action. Come see us in action. And hey, if you have a more specific question, Kyle, or anybody listening to this, if you have a more specific question, hey, in this question, I don't understand, like, should I have done this, blah, 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 like all the nuances of a specific question, use the ask button, right?
Yeah.
Got to plug the ask button. If we're plugging our classes, got to plug the ask button. that's where you can get specific help on a specific question on the Demon app. So feel free to use that as well. Me, Francesca, all of our colleagues, we're always on there answering your questions. So
yeah, sometimes you'll get a meme in response.
That's true. If you're lucky, you'll get a meme. Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.